This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. How'd the show go Friday, Nicole? I never asked.
Oh, I think it went great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jack? Was it Jack?
It was Jack, yes.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
We have a few people out there willing to sit in the big seat. It's very intimidating to everybody. I have no idea.
As well it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, Friday was... It was one of the hardest days of my life. It was the memorial service for my sister. And, you know, I mentioned about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that she just out of the blue, a lightning bolt out of the blue, passed away. It was apparently a heart attack. But, you know, and they always say, we don't want this to be sad because she had, you know, she had the greatest faith of anybody that I've ever known. And so, you know, her eternal home is secure. But, there must have been 25, 30 people who came up to me at the memorial, and every one of them said, your sister was my best friend on earth. And they all meant it. And I thought, man, everybody she knew considered her their very best friend, because I was just the... And she was really, you know, one of my closest friends. And it was just... beautiful, but it was heartbreaking, just absolutely devastating. So, but anyway, I got so many nice comments from listeners and you know, well wishes and kind words. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who had reached out in various ways to express your condolences. It's deeply, deeply appreciated. So thank you to everybody who reached out. All right, we got to get some news here. So Kamala Harris on the world stage once again, and I tell you, whenever they decide that Joe Biden just doesn't have the mental faculties to continue as president, we're going to be in good hands with Kamala Harris, because one thing that I'm told she would like to see happen is us to work together.
Which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action.
Darn it. I forgot to listen. See, this is what happens. My brain just shuts down sometimes. Andrew, did by any chance transcribe what our vice president said?
Well, I'm always working for you when your brain's not working, Dory.
Oh, okay.
So I have it right here.
Oh, fantastic. Can you read that back to me, please?
Sure. Which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action.
Wow. We're in such good hands. I'm just so excited for President Kamala. She deserves it, man. She's worked hard to get to where she is. So, you know, I wonder where that one's going to be. The work together, where it stacks up, because everything she says, it sounds like, you know, when the teacher says the essay must be at least 500 words, so she just keeps repeating two words over and over and over again, because eventually I'll get to 500 if I repeat the same things over again, get to 500, because I need to get to 500 if I repeat the same things over again so I can get to 500. So, but everything she says is just a mess. Remember when she was talking about Jamaica and COVID or something?
We also recognize just
as it has been in the United States for Jamaica, one of the issues that has been presented as an issue that is economic in the way of its impact has been the pandemic. So to that end, we are announcing today also that we will assist Jamaica in COVID recovery by assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica that have been essential to, I believe, what is necessary to strengthen not only the issue of public health, but also the economy.
Yes. Yes. I love one stretch in that in particular.
In COVID recovery. By assisting so that we will assist Jamaica in COVID recovery by assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica that have been essential to, I believe, what is necessary to strengthen not only the issue of public health, but also the economy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Kamala!
Nice president.
She's a heartbeat away.
I mean,
that's why they would have done the 25th Amendment on Joe by now, because they know he's not competent. But they also know that Joe Biden at 40% still has more going on upstairs than Kamala at 100%. So and then, of course, there's the all time classic.
The governor and I, and we were all doing a tour of the library here. And talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
You know, it's a toss-up between that and today's. Today's is really good.
Okay, I had Andrew read it back. Let me hear it in her voice here. I'll listen this time.
Which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action.
She's the best!
Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Now, people, because together we will stand every boy and every girl and a man.
Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little canned heat? All right.
I mean, it really is a lesson for children. You can become anything in this world.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping you.
Well, and you can be, and I think it's fair to say now, we've had enough time to observe. I think it's fair to say that you can even become vice president and not be very smart. That's the miracle of America. You can be kind of dopey and still become vice president of the United States. Which is, man, what a country. What a country. And then you have, a little closer to home, Pamela Jayapal, our congresswoman from Seattle. She was, she's very upset about the baby formula shortage, but she's not that worried about it.
I think there are many threads to this problem, and we have to kind of untwine all of them. The thing that really struck me when I started looking into this issue and hearing all the complaints from across the country and certainly from my constituents is that there are only four manufacturers.
There's always, it's everybody but Biden's fault. It's everybody but the Democrats' fault. But here's the Health and Human Services Secretary, Xavier Becerra. And he told CNN...
You're satisfied with the government's response throughout this?
From everything I've known, and FDA has kept me apprised of this from last year, we have been moving as quickly as we can.
So they've known about this for a year, and there still is a massive baby formula shortage in America. And I'm telling you, I heard from listeners last week who were texting in when I was talking about this. There are people who, for whatever reason, they have to use baby formula, and they simply cannot get it now. And the stuff that they can get, they know that their baby is allergic to. So there are some parents who are facing having their child inevitably get sick because of the only formula that's available. But when you put a disaster like Joe Biden in the White House, the worst president of our lifetime, by far, I mean, he makes Jimmy Carter look like Winston Churchill. Joe Biden is a disaster. Every gas is up over way over $5 a gallon. Food prices, my goodness. Try finding any cut of meat for under $12 a pound at the grocery store when you used to be able to, okay, sirloin's $4.99. Once in a while, we'll have a T-bone for $5.99. Forget it. Everything has just gone through the roof. Everything that Joe Biden touches. And then, I was talking about Pamela Jayapal. She also filled in her constituents on her very busy week.
Hey, everyone. It's been a busy week in Congress, so here's my two-minute update to keep you up to speed on what I'm working on.
I don't have 2 minutes, sorry. But anyway, I do wish Pamela the very best because she did reveal over the weekend that despite being fully vaccinated and boosted, she has contracted COVID. And not just me, but I know the president also sends his best.
Pamela Jayapal.
Yeah, Pamela. Pamela, would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Toto on your show? By the way, has there ever been a more 80s sound than Toto? Bring this up a little bit. Just everything about this screams 80s. Pamela. Enough of that nonsense. I have mentioned that there was one teacher who impacted my life more than any other. He was a great teacher. If you go by Ballard High School, their Performing Arts Center is named for Earl Kelly, who was long, long, long time drama teacher at Ballard High School. He was simply the greatest teacher by a significant margin, and that's not to denigrate any of my other terrific teachers, but it's just to illustrate just how great he was. He was the most selfless person. He taught me about goal setting. He taught me about having some confidence. He taught me about the art of performance and loving the art of performance that certainly significantly influenced my career choice. Anyway, one of the most notable Ballard High School drama graduates, few years before me, Jean Smart, who was on Designing Women, and now she's on a show called Hacks, that's really good. She plays like a Joan Rivers-type comedian, and it's a really well-done show. But anyway, Jean Smart was on Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest, and I haven't heard this yet, but Nicole found this. She talked about our Ballard High School drama teacher, the most impactful of my life, Earl Kelly.
And you had an influential teacher that got you into this line of work, right?
I had two, one in high school and one in college. Earl Kelly, Ballard High School in Seattle, Washington. He was famous for putting on great productions, and so he was very, very demanding, but very inspiring.
Yes.
And so I decided that's what I would major in, and then I had an amazing female professor at university.
I don't care about the female professor, but Earl Kelly, yes, demanding. He was so demanding. And he was the only high school teacher who had me write a college-level type term paper for drama production. And he was just a great man. And in fact, I was really honored because when they named the Performing Arts Center after Earl Kelly, Jean Smart and I were asked to speak at that event, and Earl had developed Alzheimer's. But, man, the man knew the art of performance, and he pulled it together. He got up and he spoke. He remembered some things from, you know, my time with him that we talked about that evening. And, what a great man. Earl Kelly, Ballard High School. But cool to hear Gene Smart giving him a national shout-out like that. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, an hour ago, I spoke with a woman whose father was murdered in SeaTac in 1980. Now, our state parole board is about to free her father's killer. Dave Reichert, former congressman, he was the cop who investigated this murder. And he has some strong feelings about it, and we'll talk to him about it next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, if you were listening an hour ago, I spoke with Kelly Tarp. She was 13 years old when her father was murdered. Her mother was possibly raped, but definitely tortured, tied up with an extension cord or electrical cord and left to die in a bathroom stall. The killer is Timothy Pauley. He murdered three people at the Barn Door Tavern in SeaTac that night 42 years ago. And now, unimaginably, Timothy Pauley may soon be a free man after committing one of the most grisly triple murders you will ever hear about. Dave Reichert was King County Sheriff back in the day, and he was a detective on this case before he became a U.S. Congressman. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. It's good to talk to you again. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
You're welcome, Dory, and thanks for covering the story. So important.
It's been 42 years. How clearly do you remember the details of that crime?
Well, very, very clearly. That's I think any homicide detective will tell you that they have certain scenes that are etched in their memory. And this is, I think, as your listeners and you know, I've been to a number of crime scenes in my career, including all the Green River cases. This was one of the most grisly, horrendous scenes that I have seen in my career. These two men, Smith and Pauley, came into the tavern, tied one young barmaid up. We believe she was raped. They hung her naked from a bar railing. They made the other two women strip and crawl on their hands and knees to the bathroom, women's bathroom stall. They hung the two women from the stall with electrical cord, as you said. They took the two male bartenders and they put them in a cooler. They put one on top of the other, sat them on the other's lap, bound and gagged those two men, left the three women for dead, grabbed $1,500 out of the till, went to exit. And before Pauley exited the building, he went to the cooler and put a bullet in each one of the male bartenders' heads. The two women's, the two women in the bathroom survived. Their ligatures broke. They dropped to the ground. They regained consciousness. And Maggie crawled to the cooler and found her husband dead, executed.
Yeah. When I talked to Kelly Tarp an hour ago, I can still hear, 42 years later, the emotion in her voice. And there are two sources of that emotion. And that is that this indeterminate sentencing review board, the parole board in our prisons, they have decided that Timothy Pauley is a different person now, 42 years later, and they are on the brink of letting him walk free this summer. As one who covered this murder, tell me if you think he could possibly be worthy of walking free.
Well,
in my mind, there's no way he should be walking free. What happened during the last parole board hearing, which I was a witness to along with the family, we were not allowed to testify. We, however, were allowed to provide written testimony. It was clearly stated by the members of the ISRB, the parole board, Paulie's attorney and his guidance counselor from prison, that this was really not about the horrendous crime that was committed, although it was, they recognized that it was horrendous. This was really about how Paulie has proven himself to be a model prisoner and had checked all the boxes to be considered for release, and now has been deemed deemed to be safe to reenter the community. The boxes that he checked were, number one, he completed an alcohol treatment program, which I think in 42 years he would have done before this last 5 years was up. And of course, having worked in the jail in my early career, I know how they can still become alcoholics and stay alcoholics in prison. They make their own booze. He had to take a drug rehab course, and we know how they can still, have access to drugs in prison.
Sure.
He became a Christian. Apparently, he found God. And this is the thing that really bothers me about this is not once during that interview in the entire hour did Paulie ever mention the family. Not once did he ever apologize. So, Doria, if you're a religious person, and I know being a Christian, if you're a Christian person, your first step is asking forgiveness. And that was never done. This is what Paulie said. I fired my second shot, and immediately, when I fired my second shot, I regretted it. Well, regret's a lot different than I'm sorry and I apologize.
Yes.
And
yes.
He regretted it because he's spent the last 40 years in prison.
Well, and the fact is that if they had just walked out with that $1,500, if they had been caught, they would have done just a couple of years in jail and would have been free 40 years ago nearly. But instead, they murdered the barmaid. You mentioned they executed the two men in there, and he picked his own fate with his actions. And here's the part that really gets me. I was told many, many times that when we got rid of the death penalty, and it wasn't even an option back then because it was ruled unconstitutional at the time, but we were told, but we have life in prison without the possibility of parole. So even though we don't have a death penalty in Washington by judge's order back then, by governor's edict today, but I'm told that the worst of the worst are going to stay behind bars for the rest of their life. If a triple murder doesn't qualify, then how are they going to keep anybody locked up?
Right. And this guy, again, I interviewed Ted Bundy. I interviewed Gary Ridgway. And, he didn't kill as many people as either of those two. But I'll tell you that he has the same attitude toward life, towards someone else's life. They're all three were cowards. They all three placed their lives far more important than anyone else's life. And neither one of those three ever expressed any remorse. If you don't express remorse and sincere and offer a sincere apology for what you've done, in my mind, when he gets out, he has no more concern for anyone else's life once he's out in the community. And I did get a chance to speak with Governor Inslee for about half an hour regarding this case. And, I told the governor, I said, look, you are you have edicted that you have an edict that no executions will occur on your watch as governor, but right. You're going to be allowing these two men, or this one man, Paulie, out of prison who executed three people.
It's madness. It's absolute madness that the parole board would make this ruling and that now it is up to Governor Inslee. Have you been able to get hold of the governor personally about this case?
I did. I spoke with him personally. He related to me that there is a statute that he felt was very clear. And so he was going to be examining it a little bit closer to see whether or not there was any wiggle room for him to make a decision that would allow him to overrule the board. This has been done once before by Governor Gregoire. She overruled the parole board in a case where I think a police officer was killed and this person was about to be released. So what I told the governor, I said, look, this may be one of the times where, you know, you do what's right. You do the right thing here by not allowing this man back on the street, putting our community at risk, and then deal with whatever, if there is any, fallout afterwards. This man should not be allowed out of prison.
No. Yeah. Well, and we are at a time where, and we're seeing this in so many aspects of our society these days, where they seem to care far more about the criminals than about the victims, or in a case like this, about possible future victims, if this guy is the sociopath that you've described. And so right. This is a chance for Jay Inslee to do the right thing and keep Timothy Pawley locked up. I find it unimaginable that with his discretionary powers that he would not do that.
Well, you know, he's the governor. He can... If he can say, you know what, we're not going to put anybody to death on death row during the 12 years that I'm the governor. Maybe he runs again and it's extended another 4 years. Hopefully not, but he can certainly overturn the parole board's decision. You know, and your point about the victims' rights not being recognized or honored at all. It goes beyond just this case, and it goes beyond just releasing criminals, but it extends to decriminalizing crime. It extends to not charging people who have committed violent crimes. It extends to not allowing cops to arrest people who commit violent crimes. It extends to allowing gangbangers and gangsters to cross the border and enter our country with drugs and guns, with criminal records committing havoc across this nation.
Yeah.
So it's a pattern.
Yes, it is. Well, I appreciate the fight you have been making for years now on behalf of the Dowell and Tarp family. And let's see if Jay Inslee will do the right thing now. I certainly hope so, and I know my listeners are going to reach out as well.
Great. I pray that he does too.
All right. It's nice to talk with you. Dave Reichert, the cop who investigated this triple murder, the former congressman. Dave, always a pleasure talking with you. I appreciate it.
You too, Dory. Have a great day.
You got it. All right. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, this is a pretty ugly present for a group of people who are part of the greatest sporting past in Seattle history. The Seattle Seahawks, their defense on their Super Bowl teams, was anchored by what they called the Legion of Boom, the four defensive backfield guys. Three of the four have had significant legal trouble just in the last couple of years now. Over the weekend, Earl Thomas, who was one of the great safeties ever to play in the NFL, and certainly one of the greatest Seahawks, but Earl Thomas, he was arrested on Friday in his hometown of Orange, Texas. 2 weeks earlier, a warrant had been issued because he violated a court protective order. He sent threatening messages to a woman about her and her children. And because of that, in violation of a court order, somebody spotted him at a restaurant and police were called and they arrested him. He faces a third degree felony for two violations now within 12 months of a protective order that said he could only communicate with the woman through a co-parenting phone app. But he started threatening her and her children via text. So he could go to prison now. That is a possibility for Earl Thomas. Richard Sherman last year had the highly publicized domestic violence issue with his wife, where he went to her parents' house and wreaked all kinds of havoc. All of that was chronicled on the 911 calls that we obtained. And then a third member of that quartet, Brandon Browner, he is in prison serving an 8-year sentence for an attempted murder case. And in that one, he broke into his ex-girlfriend's apartment, dragged her, smothered her in her own carpet, and they did a plea deal and said for charges of robbery, burglary, and false imprisonment being dropped, he pleaded no contest to attempted murder. And this woman's two children were there when he tried to kill her. So you have all of these guys who, not all, but I mean, 3 out of 4. The original quartet was those three guys and Cam Chancellor, who, as far as I know, and in the conversations that I've had with Cam Chancellor, just seems like as solid a dude as you'll ever meet. But Richard Sherman, Earl Tom, and both of those guys made generational money. You know, they're both worth, you know, somewhere around $30, $40 million after their playing days. They would never have to worry about money for 1 second in their lives. But, I mean, you want the clearest example that money doesn't buy you happiness? Look at these guys. Earl Thomas sending threatening messages. Richard Sherman, domestic violence allegation, which we heard on the 911 tape. Brandon Browner, attempted murder. It is so hard for some people to make the transition from having 70,000 people cheering for you, screaming. Just, I mean, you are the... You start to believe that you're a much bigger deal than you are. Because you are elevated onto a, you know, almost celestial plane when you're a pro football player. And then the cheering stops and the thrill of competition is over. And they got to figure out the rest of their life. Because all these guys are, you know, right around 30 years old. And they have way more life in front of them than they have behind. So now, a third member of the Legion of Boom in trouble with the law. Very sad legacy of those guys. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. Oh, and very exciting information for our Kitsap County listeners. I will tell you about that coming up next.